Point Radio.
Hey, it's Mike Robb. We jump into the world of independent filmmaking with a couple of seasoned veterans that take on some, well, pretty popular genres, horror and superhero films. How do they make their projects different from what we've already seen? We'll ask that and more. Let's get to the point.
This is the point. The Point Radio. Get the Point Radio.
Elliot Dibney is a filmmaker, having honed his crafts working on projects for Grey's Anatomy, Lost, and Battlestar Galactica. He's also an indie filmmaker as well, having written some 5 indie films over the past few years, one of which is hitting DVD this month. It's American Rescue Squad, a superhero satire film. And I was curious, with all the heavy competition out there, why go superheroes?
I've always been a superhero fan. Particularly the newer Marvel movies, starting with X-Men, and most recently Avengers. They sort of loved the superhero idea and knew that if superheroes were involved, people might be more willing to take this journey with us, you know, that they might lower their inhibitions a little bit.
So what's the film about?
So there's a superhero named the Taxpayer that the government always calls upon to solve all of their problems, and he's just a normal guy. And this evil group called the Alliance, they kidnap him, and they plan to torture him. And the mayor is tasked with assembling this crew of superheroes from the past. One of them is called Common Sense. One of them is called Personal Responsibility. And one of them is called Birth Control. And society has sort of given up on them and turned their back on these superheroes. And so the mayor has to bring these superheroes out of hiding and sort of reunite them and get them excited about the cause. And they have to together then go in and rescue the Taxpayer from this evil organization.
Ah, the arch enemy of every independent filmmaker, the limited budget. How did he overcome that?
I grew up in the independent film world, so you just sort of figure out a way to do it. The nice thing was we had a costume designer that made all of our superhero costumes, which are really colorful and vibrant and fun. And then we hired a kung fu choreographer, Jared Crooks. We had seen his stuff. He had been making movies in Wisconsin and was really good at sort of Jackie Chan-style fighting and kung fu. And so we cast him as one of the bad guys and brought him in for all the fight scenes. And so my thought was that if we had really good costumes and really good fight scenes, then it would seem like maybe we had a bigger budget than we actually did.
So who were his superhero filmmaker inspirations?
This movie is dedicated to Trey and Matt from South Park. My brother and I wrote the script together, and we just really love the way South Park deals with politics, just in giving you an issue and showing it to you a different way and allowing you to laugh at it and sort of think about it maybe differently. And we wanted to try and do that with politics in general, and we knew that film was a good way to do that because it's not censored at all, especially on the independent level. You know, we just went out and made this movie. We didn't have to ask anybody. And sort of that is sort of influenced by Trey and Matt as well. But, you know, Kevin Smith was a big influence. Spielberg and Lucas, John Hughes movies, you know, the list goes on and on and on. Simpsons.
One of the biggest controversies right now when it comes to superhero films is dark versus light. The Dark Knights of DC versus the brighter Avengers. Where does he weigh in on that?
Yeah, I like all of it. I mean, I really do. I really adore Christopher Nolan. I think he's one of the greatest directors of all time. You know, from Memento on, Inception, Dark Knight. I like that we get to kind of have both superhero worlds. You know, the Marvel one is going on is a little more fun and energetic, and then the Nolan one is more thoughtful and dark, and I think it's great. I think we can have both. I think those two worlds can coexist, and that it's sort of great that we have this DC versus Marvel war going on. It's very cinematic, you know.
Elliot's latest project, American Rescue Squad, is available right now on DVD. Stay at news going. TV takes the center stage in pop culture this week. It's those few weeks in the TV business where the axe is hauled out and swung pretty gingerly at maybe some of your favorite shows, ending their run and making room for new ones to premiere in the fall. ABC jumped up to bat first to announce cancellations for Forever, Cristela, Resurrection, Revenge, and The Taste. And Last Man Standing may be added to that list sometime over the next few weeks as well. In the meantime, a few surprising renewals. Once Upon a Time gets a fifth season. Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. gets season 3. And Agent Carter will be back for season 2 at some point over the next year. ABC also renewed Castle, Nashville, and Scandal as well. It looks like Legends of Tomorrow will be the name of the Arrow Flash spinoff set to debut in the fall from the CW. Still a lot of other questions to be answered as to where Firestorm fits into all this and who exactly this version of Black Canary will be. Over the summer, more than likely that'll be revealed, certainly by Comic-Con, but the show is scheduled to premiere in the fall on the network. With both Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter coming back, it looks like ABC is dropping plans for the S.H.I.E.L.D. spinoff they announced a few weeks back. The show was to star Mockingbird as the lead character, but sources at ABC say the entire project has been shelved. After having turned in a script for all three Captain America films so far, Christopher Markus and Stephen McFeely have picked up the job to write the next Avengers movie. They'll be doing Avengers Infinity War, which will hit theaters, the first part anyway, in 2018, and the second part 1 year later in 2019.
The Point! The Point!
When it comes to horror, writer-director Karen Lamb is very serious about the subject. She's done several independent films in the genre, and one of her latest, Evangeline, is finally coming to the U.S. So what drew her to this kind of material to begin with?
I've always been a horror nut, so I think it's been, you either have it or you don't. I started with horror reading. Like, I love Stephen King. I started reading, you know, all this gothic horror, like Edgar Allan Poe and Daphne du Maurier, and so I think that's where I started from, and my dad used to be a horror nut, and so I think the first film I ever saw was Jaws. So, you know, I think it's, and that was at 5 years old, so I think that I've always liked the darker things.
So what's Evangeline about?
It's a supernatural revenge fantasy, and I love revenge fantasies. I think it's because of, you know, a lifelong love for, like, Charles Bronson and that sort of thing. But, yeah, so we've been doing the film festival circuit. We finished in the late fall of 2013, but we had a whole year on the festival circuit before going onto VOD and DVD, so.
Horror movies have been around for over a century, and with so much already out there, is it hard to create a really scary moment that'll catch today's audiences?
Well, hopefully, I'm the audience, too, so I spend most of my time watching the same things they're watching, and I think that the only reason I ever start writing or directing anything is because I have something hopefully different to say, and that's where it usually starts from. And then after that, you know, as far as the creating special scares or the jumps and that sort of thing, all you can really do is just follow the material and do the best thing you can. And again, I approach everything from a fan perspective rather than necessarily just as a creator.
So what's Karen's favorite classic horror moment?
Yeah, probably one of my favorite moments is in Audition, where the guy is calling her and she's just sitting there and the phone's ringing and in the background the burlap sack jumps. I love that moment. It's one of my favorite horror moments in a film. Of course, you know, I can probably quote Silence of the Lambs. We always do the, you know, it puts its lotion on its skin, which is probably not the best thing you want to do, you know, usually in the drugstore. So
so what scares Karen?
Probably demons. Demons scare the crap out of me because I am absolutely superstitious, and I've had a few instances where I think that there's something out there, and I try not to mess around with the dark side.
So now that we finally get to see Evangeline, what's next?
I'm actually working on, it's funny, I have two scripts that I'm working on, feature scripts for new horror films, and I'm in the midst of doing my first feature documentary, which is a band documentary, but it turns into a creature feature, and it is not a mock doc, so there you go.
Check out Karen's body of work on IMDb. Evangeline is available right now on DVD and video on demand and in limited theatrical release as well.
The Point.
That does it for the podcast right now, but among the things we'll be tackling next week is Welcome to Sweden. Greg and Amy Poehler's sitcom from last summer is back again for a second season. But what are the changes and where do we go from here? All that and more will turn up on websites like ComicMix.com, MichaelDavisWorld.com, GetThePointRadio.com, and in the iTunes podcast directory. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and always Instagram, too, under The Point Radio, and we'll see you right back here.
GetThePointRadio.com.